Welcome to Healing Your Families, where we talk about six areas of health for families: emotional, financial, mental, physical, social, and spiritual. And this month we've been focusing about that financial well-being. And my guest today is Amber Peterson, a money mindset coach. Amber, welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Emmalou. I'm thrilled to be here and chatting about our topic today.
Well, it's something that's on our minds this time of year. Our favorite thing to do, pay taxes.
Yeah, I don't know if it's our favorite, but it is part of our lives.
Definitely. What is that saying? The only things you have to do is die and pay taxes.
Oh, the two
The only
constants, yeah.
requirement. Okay, now tell us about your qualifications.
Yes, I do want to let everyone know as we get started here today that I am not a CPA. I'm not a tax advisor. I am a licensed financial professional. So we're just going to give very general information today for you to be aware of. But each family situation is going to be unique. So I encourage all of you listening to definitely reach out to a tax advisor or CPA to guide you in your specific situation so you can get the best advice possible.
And this saves you money and heartache, right?
Yes. Well, and it, I think, also manages your expectations of your money. So then there's not surprises. You know what's coming.
You know, we quite often we always complain about taxes, but from an historical perspective, how would you describe them?
Yes, I think it's so fascinating because taxes can feel like a burden. They can feel overwhelming. And so I did a little bit of research on this because I was just curious about how high taxes have been historically. And what I was interested to find out and what I was fascinated by is the 2 years after World War II, the tax bracket actually went to its highest in history, or at least in the last 100 years or so, where the highest tax bracket was 94% for federal taxes. And I just thought, oh my goodness, like, I can't even imagine having a 94% tax bracket. Now, that was for individuals making over $200,000 or more. But it's just fascinating to know that the taxes we're in currently here in 2024 are definitely not the highest we have experienced as a nation. And in fact, are some of the lowest taxes we've seen in the last 100 years at 37% for our highest tax bracket.
So,
So, yeah, go ahead, Emmalou.
one thing we can expect is taxes could go up.
It's definitely a possibility. How does the government generate revenue to, maintain our roads and to generate revenue for other programs that they have is taxes. And so, depending on what our leaders decide to choose to bring into law, they need an extra funding for those things. And that means taxes. And so it's very possible that that tax bracket could be raised, and we might have to then accommodate that raise in taxes in our budgets.
So what choices do we have about paying tax other than we know we pay them or pay a penalty, including imprisonment? But what options do we have?
Yeah, so this takes into account as well your habits with money and how well you know what you're going to do with those funds and how they're going to best serve you. Now, a lot of individuals like to have a tax return because then they know, okay, come tax season, I can expect a larger sum of money into my bank account. Then they distribute it in their budget that way, which is fine. But also, what you need to realize is that basically, when we pay extra in taxes, the government gets to use that as an interest-free loan until they give it back to you the following year. And if that system works for you, fantastic. However, you can also take more deductions or exemptions from your paycheck, which means that you have more money coming into your bank account instead of going to taxes throughout the year. Then you can use that money to invest and grow that money. You can use that money to build your savings and then utilize that throughout the year. And when it's getting compound interest, that's going to bring you much more. But you also want to make sure that you're saving some of those funds to then put towards taxes at the end of the year, because then your tax bill will be will be more than if you took less exemptions on your paychecks.
So it sounds like if you know that you don't have a lot of self-control, if you don't want to have to worry about a tax bill, then go that route. But if you want to use your own funds and you have the self-discipline to set some money aside to pay for that tax bill, is that accurate, the description?
Exactly. Yeah. So if you feel like I can be disciplined, I want to grow those extra funds. Okay. Then take more exemptions so you have more money in your paycheck. If you feel like, you know what, I probably, if more money comes in my paycheck, I'm going to end up spending it and not saving it for tax purposes. I'm going to put less exemptions on there. So then more taxes will come out of my paycheck and I can expect hopefully a return at the end of the year.
And it sounds like if you're filing jointly, it would be wise to make sure you're both on the same page, right?
Absolutely. Yes. If you and your spouse are filing jointly, it's really important to be on the same page. So, whether you want to take more exemptions or less exemptions, then you really need to decide as a couple, what are we going to do with those funds? And even if you take less exemptions and have a bigger paycheck or a refund, then you want to decide, okay, what are we going to do with it? Excuse me. What is going to be the best use of this funds to support our family, to support our goals, to help us get to where we want to be? And so having those conversations with your spouse and having an idea of what you want to do with those funds, whether it's the extra in every paycheck or the bigger refund, is key to help you both move forward with your money.
And I think it's the important thing here is giving yourself that option, being able to decide what's best for your family.
Absolutely. You don't have to do what your neighbors do or what anyone else does. You get to decide because it's your goals, you and your spouse's goals, your family's goals. What do you want to accomplish with it? You know, and this also brings up a point too, Emily, that if you and your spouse want something different, this is a really great time to discuss and see how you can make it a win-win situation for you both to help you both move forward and your family move forward on your money journey.
Oh, I totally agree. I think, communication is so important in a family, but especially when it comes to finances. That can result in some bitter contention if it isn't resolved. And I love your idea of let's plan for the future. I know if you're in your early 30s, maybe it seems silly to plan about retirement.
It seems like it's really far away, huh? Like, I don't have to worry about that for years. But in fact, the more that we can plan or at least know what to expect, it manages our expectations. So when we get there, it's not so overwhelming, or we don't get to those, golden years of retirement and not frantically figuring out how am I going to survive? I don't have enough money. What am I going to do? And I think it's really important to look at what my taxes look like in the future as well. I find that there's a few misconceptions out there about what taxes may look like. And I'd like to just address some of those today.
I'm gonna put myself as the example. I really thought that after I retired, my taxes would go down, and I
Yes.
was dismayed to discover they didn't.
Yes. And I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions is that, oh, when I'm older and I'm not working, taxes will be less. Now, let me give you a couple different scenarios about how that would look. So, yes, there is a possibility that taxes will be less in the future. The biggest way that, or the most common way this will happen, is if you bring in less income. So, if you're making $100,000 while you're working, and then you're relying now on your savings, and let's say you're bringing in $50,000 per year, yes, you're going to be in a different tax bracket and your taxes will be lower, generally speaking. So, that's where I think some of the misconception can come from. However, what we don't usually consider is several different things. So, one of them is what if taxes go up? What if the government decides it needs to bring in some more funding and the tax brackets are raised, then we're going to be spending more in taxes because more revenue needs to be generated. Another thing that happens is generally in retirement, most of our deductions or credits are taken away. So for example, our kids are usually out of the house and grown by then. We can't use a child tax credit. If we have paid mortgage interest on our home, then we can no longer deduct that on our taxes. If you are no longer running a business, for example, you don't have those deductions for and expenses of running a business. And so without those deductions, taxes can also go up, and that can be a little unexpected as well. And it sounds like from your experience, Emily, that that's something that happened to you.
Yes, yes. I completely overlooked that. I thought, well, we don't pay much in taxes at all. Well, that's because we had children at home.
Yes.
We got that tax credit, but they grew up, they left home, we couldn't deduct them anymore. And I found out, to my surprise, the state I live in, Social Security is taxed. I just assumed it wasn't taxed, but check your state. And in many states, there is a tax on Social Security.
Yes, and it can also depend on income levels too. So definitely take a look at that. Once again, like we recommend going to the CPA and tax advisor, just so you have that expectation going forward into retirement. Because what I'm seeing is a lot of individuals are trying to save a little bit, but they're saying, hey, taxes will be lower. I'll get Social Security. And they assume Social Security isn't taxed. And then they go into retirement and find out, unfortunately, the hard way, oh, there's a lot more expense than I had anticipated in taxes. My Social Security may not be as much as I thought it was, and my savings are not excuse me, going as far as I thought they would either. And that can be a real shock as you move forward without the income coming in from a job or a business.
Well, and quite often, most frequently, your medical expenses go up as you age.
Yes, that's a great point, Emily, is we might say, oh, well, we don't have too many expenses. Actually, with all the kids out of the house, our grocery bill's a lot less. That's fantastic. We don't have to pay on our house, which is great. Normally, we have it paid off by that time. But then, yes, there's going to be other areas of our life where expenses do go up, namely medical expenses, just because, unfortunately, our bodies don't quite function as well as they did when they were younger.
The warranty expires.
Warranty's going out. Yeah. So we also need to accommodate that as well. How am I going to pay for those extra expenses as we move forward in retirement?
And tax time is not a time for surprises.
Right. Because I'm sure we've all had an experience where the unexpected comes up or we are surprised in money. And then we have to not only deal with, okay, how do we pay for this? How do we accommodate this? But it's just a lot of emotional heaviness we need to take on usually. And so it's just something we have to work through. So instead, let's manage what is coming, those expectations. So when it comes, it's not so overwhelming and it's not so stressful. In addition, something else we might want to address is in retirement, depending on how you save for retirement, that money could be taxed or not taxed as well. So that's also another expense to be aware of. So for example, a 401k, which many jobs have today, and let's say you've been putting money into that for years and years and years. Well, the way a 401k works is that money is taken out of your paycheck before it is taxed and put into funds for you for later on. So when you're in retirement, anytime you take money out of the 401k, it will be taxed because it hasn't been taxed before. So if you have saved, I don't know, $500,000 for retirement, you actually are not going to keep that $500,000 in a 401k because it's going to need to be taxed first. So that's another thing to just be aware of where you're putting your money. Now, there's other vehicles, like a Roth, for example, whether that is a Roth 401k, if it's a Roth IRA, where you actually, when you put money in, that money's taxed when it goes in. So when you take the money out in retirement, it's not taxed again. So that can also play a big factor into how you're saving for retirement and the taxes that will happen there.
And if you've invested in something you're expecting to go up in value, the Roth really makes sense because you would pay taxes on what the money you put in, which would be smaller than the money you pull out.
Yeah, because you have the interest in the growth there. And generally speaking, especially if you have a long period of time for it to grow, you mentioned, you know, in your 30s, Emily, so the earlier you start, that money has more opportunity to grow with the ups and downs of the market. So definitely recommend, okay, if we can start now, we can put smaller amounts in and then can grow larger and larger as you move forward, rather than waiting until maybe your 50s, then you're needing to put large amounts of money away into savings. And you want to be a little bit more cautious in the market just because you don't have as much time to weather the ups and downs.
So in retirement, if I take money out of my 401k, I will need to pay taxes on it and allow for that as I'm planning my taxes for that year. Whereas if I took money out of a Roth, that would not be taxed.
That's true. And one thing that we talked about earlier as well, Emily, is that we don't know what taxes will be. Right now, they're some of the lowest we've seen in history.
But they could go up.
But they could go up. So I just want everyone to be aware as they're listening that if we get into retirement and taxes may be, I don't know, 40, 50%, that's also going to play a factor on the money that you're taking out and how much you have to live on while you're in retirement.
And, you know, we tend to think, well, I've put this money into savings. I have invested it in a 401k, a Roth. Now I can take it out when I need it. But aren't there laws in place that are mandatory over the age of, I think, 72, or I think they just recently made it a little older, that you're required to take a certain percent out every year?
Yes, because I think what was happening is that if you invested into a 401k, for example, and you had other savings, you just said, well, I know it's going to be taxed. I might as well just leave it in there, go off my savings, and then if I truly do need it, I can take it out later. However, that money hasn't been taxed yet, and the government needs the taxes on that to generate revenue. So they did make a law that said you need to take it out by a certain time. Now, some, like you mentioned, Emily, the legislature has risen or raised that age
from 72
to be higher. So I know at one point it was 72 and a half. It may even be up to 73% or 73 years old now. So that's definitely something you want to check. It could be amended, you know, further on in the future. But by that date, you have to start taking what is called a required minimum distribution, or RMD for short. And what that means is that the government does a calculation. And once again, this is a really big reason why to have a CPA. So you know even how much money you have to take out to not be penalized by the government for not taking out the amount you need to be taxed. And unfortunately, if we don't take out that amount that they are requiring you to, you can actually get taxed on that money that you didn't take out at a higher rate instead of the money you would have been taken out as ordinary income.
Again, not a time to be caught unaware.
Absolutely, because people aren't a fixed income at that point.
And knowing that, you know, planning ahead, making it a much more, you know, I know I've seen it, that a lot of, there are people who retire thinking I'm set. And then within a few years, they're back at work and they're not always necessarily in jobs that are rewarding. You know, some people work because they love it, but it's that matter of choice. It's one thing to say, I want to work until I'm in my 80s because I love what I do.
Yeah.
And quite another to say, I'm going to have to get a job to make ends meet.
Yes, very different set of circumstances. And really, the awareness we want to bring to you today is what giving you more opportunities and options at that point. Knowing that what taxes might look like in the future. Do I have enough saved to accommodate taxes? Do I have enough to save for medical expenses? And so when you get to that point, you just have more availability and options to you, and you're not restricted by one or two options to say, okay, well, you're going to have to work just to survive, or you're going to have to seriously reduce your income to be on different government programs, right? We don't want a limited number of options because that can feel really restrictive. But if you just plan ahead, you can meet a lot of those different circumstances that could come up for you.
Amber, I love the way you help families with their financial well-being. Could you talk about some of the services you offer and where they can hear you, learn more about you?
Absolutely. And we actually, Emily and I have a group, which is fantastic because we know how important it is to strengthen not only ourselves, but our families. So it's called Strengthen You, Strengthen Your Family. You can come in there and learn from experts in the different areas of family health that Emily has been talking about, all those different areas to really strengthen you and strengthen your family and to be in a community environment where we can support each other.
It's
So
a
that is on Facebook.
Facebook group. Yes. Now you have your own show,
I
and
do.
tell about Mamas and Money.
Yeah, so I talk about money and money mindset on my show, Mamas and Money, and it's on Fridays at 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. We love to talk about all things money. We focus a lot on the emotional and behavioral side of money because I know that can be some of the most difficult to overcome. I mean, it's one thing to know the ins and outs of where to save, where to invest, but more importantly is how we think and feel and believe about money because that leads to all of our actions and our decisions with money, which ultimately creates our results. So I'd love to have you come by and I'd love to answer your questions. If you've been coming to Emily's show, you know that we have a Q&A right after our information that we share. So definitely come over there. And in addition, we have a brand new ebook out for you to help you discover your own money mindset. So we would love to share that with you to help you here in this new year create more of what you want with your money.
And that's so important in relationships. If you're not communicating on, the money can be a uniting or divisive force in marriage. That contention, if they, you have a saver and a spender, and you have completely different expectations, and if you can't communicate and work out come up with an agreement that meets everyone's needs. It's a painful source of contention. It can end relationships. That's, as you said, it's the financial and the emotional. They're closely connected.
Absolutely. And even when you and your spouse can discover what your money mindset is, then you can start working on, okay, how do we make this work together? Let's understand each other, understand where we're coming from. And that way can bond a couple as they work through, okay, how can we make our decisions win-win for us both? How can we then formulate goals into our money mindsets and our beliefs and help us move forward and even work on those beliefs so they are in a positive way supporting you towards your so supporting you towards your goals.
Amber, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge on general topic of taxes. Again, urging people to talk to their CPA and be prepared. Don't be completely caught off guard and dismayed. Some people are totally shocked when they see that tax bill. They're blindsided. Have a good idea of what's coming.
Absolutely. And I'm just so grateful to be on your show, Emma Lou, and to be able to talk about this. And I'd be happy to answer any additional questions that come in. We just want to help you be confident with your money.
Thank you, Amber. And for my listeners, join me again next week at the same time. Until then, love yourself, love your family. Let's make the world a better place by strengthening families. This is Emmalou Penrod at healingyourfamilies.com.